Good evening. Did you figure out how to get into the building? Better yet, did you find a parking spot? Some of you know me. My name is Joyce Thomas. Some of you don't know me. But let's pray before we start. Heavenly Father, you are here tonight, as you are always with us. Make yourself known to us tonight in the words that you give me, in Jesus' name. Amen. Most of you probably do not know that I was healed from cancer in September this year. I'm sure that all of you have had something that you've asked from God in your prayers and have recollection of his answers. But do you realize that he is talking to you all the time? Are you listening to his communication? Do you hear him? I'm going to put up the first slide, please. Has he promised you something that has not come to pass yet? Remember how long Abraham waited for God's timing that he would be the father of uncountable peoples, and he did not have a son until he was old age? Sometimes we must wait for answers. Sometimes the promise and the fulfilling of the promise comes pretty quickly. In my lifetime, God has protected me and given me blessings beyond my asking or understanding. In my previous marriage, God took me from psychological and physical abuse by giving me the strength to say no more and end the relationship after 24 years. Yet out of that difficult relationship came the blessing of 3 children and 5 grandchildren. Some time back, God gave me verses that have had a powerful meaning for me. And second slide, please. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope in the future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." I found the verses giving me hope for the future through the trials, but the direction was unclear. God answered prayers to help Lee and I find a beautiful property here in Knox County and be blessed for the time that we had it. Then, when God told me and let me know that it was time to move, he found our home through the help of a friend who saw the for sale sign down the street. That is a blessing in its own right at this time in our lives. Over the last few months, those verses in Jeremiah have grown in depth of meaning to me. On August 27th this year, I went to the emergency room at KCH with bleeding. On the 28th, the diagnosis was probable cancer. On September 5th, the diagnosis was confirmed, and I had surgery on September 13th to remove the cancer. Let me tell you, I ignored some times of trouble for a time out of fear of the outcome. And that's a strange thing. If we're afraid it's going to happen, why don't we fix it in the first place and ask God and work it out? I know that, but I didn't do it. The choice was costly, but he put me where I needed to be to listen to him for what he had in mind for me to do for him. The next slide, please. Psalm 46:10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." We usually think of this verse as asking us to be quiet and rest. But in context, it was a command during a time that was war and fighting. Therefore, this is also a call to be in awe of him during the times we are overburdened or in trouble. He wants us to just stop, to wake up, and focus on getting to know him, letting him help us through the times of trouble. That is, just know that he is God and we are not. Now let's back up to 1 week before I went to the emergency room. As I was praying one day that week, God spoke to me of a promise to heal me, and I claimed that promise. I was not sure what that meant, but my medical background, I knew the bleeding I was having was not good. Then when I went to the ER on August 27th, as I was praying in the waiting room, I asked Jesus to be with me. Instantly, he told me he had my hand in his, and I claimed it. From then on, as I was admitted and prepped for testing the next day, I was calm and had no anxiety. You should know that anxiety is not new to me, and I deal with it often. And if you notice, I have my hand squeezed tonight. Throughout the rest of this whole process, if anxiety jumps in, I just squeeze my hand, knowing Jesus has it in his. I also called on my prayer warriors to pray me through it daily. When the diagnosis was confirmed, I went to surgery on the 13th of September. I was calm, knowing he still had my hand, and Lee and this praying church were with me. The prayer team also gave me a prayer quilt that went into surgery with me and is still on my bed at night. Just before surgery, Pastor Hazley prayed with me that the surgery be the final part of the healing I was promised back in August. And I claimed that. At that moment, I knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that was a prophetic word from God, as I had a distinct warm feeling throughout my body. When the blood cancer markers came back to be in normal range, it just reaffirmed for me that I was healed. The oncologist, being the professional he is, still recommended chemo, but I chose to decline. By no means do I tell you to forgo any recommended treatment just because I did. My recovery has gone well, and I'm feeling better every day with now a renewed focus ability for daily prayer and Bible study. I have included some dietary changes and am walking 1 or more miles most days. It took a strong intervention for him to get my attention, to be still and know he is God, to stop and to focus on him and listen to what he has for me to do. There have been other affirmations of my healing. Before the diagnosis, a very good friend of mine named Diana gave me a powerful devotional, Jesus Always, Embracing Joy in His Presence by Sarah Young. If you can get one of these through the Christian bookstore, this is absolutely wonderful. It's written as if Jesus is speaking right to you. There were daily promises of his presence with me, of him holding my hand. There have been many of those. I would like to share just a few with you. This is September 12th, the day before the surgery. Your times are in my hands, so trust me, beloved. I'm training you to feel secure in the midst of change and uncertainty. I am a God of surprises, so look for me in unexpected places. I invite you to rejoice in this day that I have made, asking me to orchestrate its details and events. Rushing and anxiety go hand in hand, and I've instructed you not to be anxious. If you let me set the pace, I will bless you with a peace that transcends all understanding. This is the one that was in here on the day that I had surgery, on the 13th of September. Your life is a precious gift from me. As you go through this day that I've gifted to you, look for signs of my abiding presence. I am with you watching over you continually. On dark, difficult days, grasp my hand in trusting dependence. I will help you, beloved. Your physical life is an amazing gift, but your spiritual life is a treasure of infinite value. Because you belong to me, you will live with me forever, enjoying a glorified body that will never get sick or tired. Since I have saved you by grace through faith, let thankfulness for this indescribable joy fill you with overflowing joy. And I just want to read today's, November 7th. Each day has enough trouble of its own. A logical implication of this truth is that you can expect to encounter some trouble every day. I want to help you handle calmly and confidently the difficulties that come your way. I'm fully available to you to guide and comfort you as you go through turbulent times. Difficulties need not deter you from enjoying my presence. They draw you closer to me when you collaborate with me in handling them. The pleasure of my company greatly increases your joy. I knew months ago that God had a plan for me. That he had a plan for me to do some kind of ministry in the church, but it wasn't clear what, and I wasn't able to focus and listen to him to find out. During the move to our new home, I kept that feeling of he had unfinished business for me to accomplish, but the path didn't become clear because I didn't truly listen. After the surgery and the recuperative period put me in a place of keeping quiet, of stopping and hearing him speak to know him better. Jeremiah 29:11-13 now is clearer and has more depth for me. Then, one day, he gave me the vision of a new ministry of companioning with Jesus. It's called Companioning with Jesus. I laid out an outline that he had given me and had pastor and a few friends read it. All agreed it was a good idea for FUMC moving forward. Another confirmation came for this on October 21st when Dr. Greshevich spoke during the worship and Sunday school hour about mental illness and how the church can be in a position to be there for those in need. Several of his suggestions and ideas were exactly what God had told me. There's more to come on the Companioning with Jesus ministry in the next few months. There will be other people than me working on it and doing things with it. But the part that I'm going to start in January will be support groups for people who've lost something, someone, and for families dealing with a loved one with dementia. These will take place after the first of the year, and they'll be in the December-January Tower Chimes. As the worship team now comes back, I have one last thought for us. God has plans for me and for you. Is God trying to get your attention, but you've let life be too busy for you to listen? Remember, Martha was distracted about the little things, forgetting Jesus wanted her to be about the better part, serving and seeking God. The words, put up the next screen, please. The words Josh Groban wrote, "You raise me up to more than I can be. Say to me that he is doing in me and you what we cannot do on our own." Steve Green sang a song called "People Need the Lord." Some of you may know that, and I'm guessing Gary probably knows it. We need the Lord much more than we sometimes think, but if we seek him, he will be found. That song, "People Need the Lord," the words were written by two young men who wrote this, there were one day and were trying to write some songs, and they just didn't have a good day doing it. They couldn't figure out what to do. So they decided to go to a restaurant. And as they were seated, a waitress came to their table. As she approached them, she smiled, and it seemed that her eyes were so empty. She was trying to convey a cheery attitude, but her face seemed to say something else. She took their order and walked away. And I'm going to read what he's actually written here. Their names were Greg Nelson and Phil McHugh. Phil and I looked at each other, and one of us said to the other, "She needs the Lord." We then began looking around the restaurant of all the people there. They, too, seemed to have an emptiness in their faces. We sensed a real heaviness in their hearts as we watched them. Suddenly, we realized that all these people needed the Lord. Just as quickly, we both thought, we need to write that. People need the Lord. They finished their meal and went back to the office and sat down and wrote the song. And I think Ross has the words for that. I thank you for coming tonight, and I hope you've heard some word from God tonight.